when I looked in the mirror, and it was, I don't know you. And my world came crashing down. And at that point, my obsession changed from trying to please everybody else to figure out, how did I get here and how do I get out of it? Because I knew I was the one who had actually gotten myself.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast, where we activate and inspire women in their power, in their authenticity, and in their bliss. I'm your host, Alara Sage. My loves, you know, understanding your no's is so powerful. Sometimes we don't always know what we want, but when we clarify what we don't want, we clarify what we want. It's so delicious. And hey, you know what? It can be really fun to say no, period, right? No, period. Nothing else more needed. That's the end of the conversation. We're going to talk about this today because as women, we haven't always been able to do this. This hasn't come easy to all of us. How do we learn to do this more powerfully? Why is this important? This is all what we're going to talk about today with our special guest, Andrea Horvath, who is She helps badass women like yourself. Badass women, ladies. All right. Who's resonating with that? I resonate with that. Determine and transition to their soul aligned career or business. My love, Andrea, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. I am super excited for this topic. It is so relevant right now.
So let's get into this. Owning our no's. First off, I want to ask, what was it like for you to not own your no's? What did that look like? What was that experience?
It almost feels like part of me is being chipped away. If I could actually explain it, I actually got to the point in my life where I didn't own my no's so much. And one day I looked in the mirror and I said to myself, I don't even know who you are anymore.
Wow. Can we all just pause right there and kind of like let that sink in, right? So why do you think, because you weren't owning your no's, that you didn't recognize yourself?
Because I just went along with everything that everybody else wanted me to do. And I became this person that everybody else wanted me to be, or I perceived that they wanted me to be. And so I became that person. I mean, I was the epitome of a people pleaser.
And do you remember what that felt like in your body? Like, what were you experiencing in your life? You didn't recognize yourself. And what else was kind of showing up for you?
Well, my life was falling apart. That was happening on the external. Internally, just completely disconnected. Almost like I wasn't even in my body. That's almost how I explain it. And I realized when I look back, I wasn't in my body. I was checking out continually and going to a different reality because the reality I had created didn't resonate with me. I didn't enjoy it. So completely disconnected.
Yes, yes, yes. That was my experience too. And I remember feeling like I was always second guessing myself. And I was also so worried about like what everybody else was feeling or thinking, right, of me or of the situation or of the actions or all of it. And like so focused on everybody else and what was happening and how do I keep this space and this energy feeling good. And as you said, like really out of my body, trying to make all of that happen. And it felt very like, it wasn't really anxiety, but it felt very like anxious and like you're walking on eggshells, right? You're walking on ice. What do I need to be now in order to make other people happy, right? What do I need to be now? What do I need to say in order to please everybody?
You know, I'm so glad that you brought this up because it's been so long since I have done this, I've almost forgotten. But you're 100% right on everything you're saying there. It's this constant, almost obsession with trying to predict how everybody's going to like what I'm doing or how they're going to respond. And are they going to be okay with it? And what's going to happen to this relationship or this job or this situation over here, this friendship? It becomes almost obsessive, really, and it creates that anxiety. But I had honestly forgotten what it's like to live like that.
Yes, obsession. That's the exact word. Yes. Okay. So, what made you start to become aware that you were doing this?
It was really a moment. It was in May 2008 when I looked in the mirror. It really was a moment in time that's etched in my brain forever, where I literally looked in the mirror and it was, I don't know you anymore. And my world came crashing down. And at that point, my obsession changed from trying to please everybody else to figure out how did I get here and how do I get out of it? Because I knew I was the one who had actually gotten myself into this situation. So I was the one who needed to get myself out of it. I had a very much an acute awareness of the responsibility and the part I played in it, which was super powerful.
Absolutely. Yes. Responsibility. And when you say your life was falling apart, was that your business, your career? Was that your relationships? Can you speak a little bit to the external expression of how this was all
My
coming out?
marriage, that was probably the biggest one. Shortly after there, I was divorced. Also, I separated, distanced myself from my family. Friendships all changed. I mean, you name it. My career couldn't change quite yet. At that time, I had two small kids. They were 2 and 3. So the ability to switch careers at that point was not there, but I had an awareness that that needed to change too. So it was a lot. Perfect storm.
Perfect indeed, perfectly delicious, right? Because sometimes we need those storms. I've gone through a similar situation, and sometimes those storms are exactly what we need to really like move through the energies. And I love bringing it back to your relationship and the divorce, right? Because it does, it comes between ourself and our intimate partners. How can we really be intimate? Right? How can we really be intimate? Intimacy to me is the willingness to be seen for who we are, who we truly, truly are, and having that connection to that version of ourself within and of ourselves, and then bringing forth that to other people to be intimate. That's true intimacy, right? That connection that's just so deep. How can we do that if we're pretending to be somebody else? Did you find that your intimacy wasn't there?
What intimacy?
I'm not talking sexual intimacy, but by all
No,
means, is that too? Absolutely.
I meant no, everything you said there. How can you truly connect with another human being?
Oh, what intimacy?
And
Yeah, like,
yeah, in any way, really, if you're not
yes.
actually being authentically yourself and an integrity of being yourself. Because you are, you've created a barrier between you two.
Yes.
100%.
Yes. Oh, yes. All of these things are like coming back into my memory right now as we're having this conversation. And yeah, I had that with my husband at the time, right? And I mean, our sexual intimacy wasn't there. Just intimacy. I mean, we were really good friends and great partners. We're still an amazing team. But, our level of intimacy was not there. And intimacy with my friends was not there. The intimacy with humanity was not there, right? Because I felt so unsafe and in this people pleasing energy. Is that similar to what you experienced?
Oh, absolutely. And I think you said it right there, unsafe.
Yeah.
Because behind that often is a fear of rejection, right? A fear of something, abandonment, whatever it might be. And I think one of the things that went through my mind, and I was reflecting upon this, before the show today, is that the realization that I had is that I would rather be rejected by somebody for being who I am than being loved and adored by someone when I'm not being authentically myself.
Wow. Again, that's like another moment of
Yeah.
pause, right? profound, deeply, deeply profound, and not an easy transition to make. So you had this realization, and it just sank in that, like, wait a second, I'm done, right? I'm done being this person. I'd rather be rejected. Because let's go back into that about the safety. It's such an important part of this conversation. Do you understand what is your perspective as to why people, but we're speaking to primarily women here, don't feel safe to say no, period?
It's a great question. I think a lot of it is our conditioning and our programming. I really do. I think we're brought up when we're very little girls to say yes. And then it gets instilled. I mean, so much of how we operate and function starts when we're so little. So it starts right then and there. And we build that fear up. If I'm not fitting in, I'm going to be rejected. The pack is going to reject me, right? And, you know, and for some of us, I mean, that was my reality. When I became the real me, people did reject me. So it wasn't even in my head. It actually manifested and created, but so much of it is the conditioning.
I had the exact same experience. I
interesting.
Literally rejected for who I was. And that's what became this, like, okay, well, that version doesn't work. So let me just try to figure out what version's going to work, right? Wow. So beautiful. And when I look back on that, I am so grateful for that experience because I always see it as a rubber band. You know, when we move far away from ourselves, you know, when we let go of that rubber band, we just come back to self, but we come deeper, because that feeling of coming back to yourself is so delicious. It's so freeing. You know, it's home, right? It's that feeling of home and the feeling of liberation, the feeling of like, ah, I don't want anything else other than this. And so I feel like that you know, pull out, right, where the rubber band gets pulled out, and as it's getting further and further away from who we truly are, the tension is building up, right? So we let go, we like spang right back into it and like go deeper into who we are. Is that what you've experienced?
How many times have I experienced that? It's a better question.
Over and over again.
And you're so right. Like, we hold on. Like, I remember, like, and that's often what happens, is we are holding on to the whatever it is, those relationships and everything, right? Because we're so scared. And then when you do that, like you said, you let go, and it's like this feeling of liberation. I mean, the best word I can describe it is liberation. And you realize holding on was incredibly much more painful. Than having to go through some adjustments afterwards, whether it is people leave you, and it pales in comparison. But we hold on really so tight. And that's certainly what I did until life said, girl, it's time. we're gonna make your whole world, you know, we're gonna shake it up so much that you don't, you know, really have a choice. Of course, we always have a choice, right? I could have continued to hold on, but we do. We hold on so tight to things that we don't even want. Like, I think that's the irony, is like, we hold on to things we don't at the core of us even want, if we gave ourselves permission to even ask ourselves, do we want these things anymore?
Yeah, and it's exhausting.
Oh, it is so exhausting.
I mean, if you think about, like, you, like, imagine, I get this image of, like, if we had that rubber band around our waist, right? And it was anchored to ourself, and we move back away from that. And the further away we get, the more we have to really tense our bodies and our entire being to, like, hold ourselves in this false sense of self, right? And I'm going to hold it here. And it's really tiring to do that, which if I just let go and came back into it, I really feel like that's what you did, right? You like sprang back into yourself. Oh, wow. I have so much more energy to actually create my life with.
Being two people is exhausting. I did it for many, many years, and I won't do it again. And it's absolutely exhausting. A lot of work to maintain. It's a lot of work to keep up. You're so right. Yep.
So when we were first connecting to this topic, I could just feel your passion around it. So let's talk a little bit about why is this so important to you to help women to reclaim and own their nose?
I think because I know what it's like to be on the other side. And I know the amazingness, although it can feel uncomfortable at first when you let go of that band, it only gets better. Like it really, really, truly only gets better. I think the journey back to yourself and really connecting with yourself at a deep level is the richest and most rewarding journey. And the rest of it is icing on the cake. And I mean, I didn't see that back then. There's no way I could see that back then. And I talk to so many women now who are holding on so tight. And I can see it, right? Because of course I've been there. I know what it's like. There's certainly no judgment ever on my part. I know what it's like, but I also know like what it's like when you can let go and the richness and how much more rewarding. I mean, you talk about relationships, how much more rewarding relationships are. And I actually, it's so interesting because I had such a different perspective of myself in relationships before. Like I thought I didn't do deep personal intimate relationships because I didn't even know how to. Like I was just so, because I wasn't showing up as myself. And now it's like, oh, actually, I love this. I love having close friendships. I love having people around me because I'm myself. I'm not having to act.
Oh my God, that's such a beautiful point. I want to unravel that a little bit because I feel like I was the same and I didn't really connect to that exact thing until you said it. Like, I don't like to be around people, right? Or I don't like to spend too much time around people. It's very exhausting. Well, it is exhausting when you're pretending to be somebody. Because what are you doing? Like you're constant. What do we say? You're in that tension. You're feeling into everything. How are they feeling about what I'm doing? How are they feeling about what I'm saying? Is everybody happy? You know, it's expelling a lot of energy on multiple planes of our awareness in one moment. Yeah, you're like, give me an hour and I'm done, right? Because that's just too much, right? Where it's so amazing because then when you move into the space of authenticity, it's like, oh my God, bring me people because it's so nourishing to be around people that you see them and they see you and you just get to have these deep conversations and be silly and dorky and geeky or playful and erotic and goddess, whoever you want to be, right? Like
whoever.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They're so different. And you're right. They're draining when you're not being yourself. So that was a huge revelation that I had. Like I am amazed at how much I misjudged myself because we don't even know ourselves when we're doing that. Like I said, I didn't know myself. So it's been this really cool journey of actually figuring out who I am. What do I like? What don't I like? And owning it. It is such a powerful thing when you can just stand in your power and say, this isn't for me. No explanation. Like you said, there's no explanation. There's no justification. There's no excuse. There's no story that we need to say. And we can do it with kindness and we can do it with love and compassion and with grace. Not all the time. Sometimes it takes a bit firmer. But however, you know, you can do it in this beautiful way that honors another person, but also honors yourself. Because that's the part when we say yes and we mean no. What we're really doing is dishonoring ourselves continually over and over again. And that's too big a sacrifice. That's a very big sacrifice when you dishonor yourself and your wishes and your wants and your desires. I see this as you are literally eating away at your soul. And women's souls right now are begging for them to listen, like mine was. Mine was begging for me. It was just kept knocking at my door until I listened and went, okay, I'm going to listen to you now.
Ah, oh, so delicious. When you said dishonor, I just got this image of like taking a knife right to our own hearts, right? And just twisting. And it's interesting because you know, when I ask people like what they want, and this was also true for myself, what do you want? Oh, I don't know. You know, that typical like answer of like, I don't know, or it doesn't matter, or I'm good with whatever. No, we're not good with whatever. We're just not. That's not the truth. We're not good with whatever. And the truth is we have really clear desires. However, if we've been stabbing our hearts and twisting, we've basically said to ourselves, yeah, whatever, sweetie, your desires don't matter. Just put those in a box in the closet, put a bunch of crap on top of it. Like whatever you can do, hide it deep, deep.
Because it's very painful, deep, very right? deep.
It's painful to say like, mm-hmm. I want that, but I can't have it because I got to please all these other people. No, it's so much easier just to get it out of your sight, bury it, and then just be like, I don't know what I want. And so I love how we're having this conversation because it's like, just like what I said at the beginning, when we get clear with our nose, what we actually want becomes much more apparent.
So true. And you know, it's so interesting when you talk about ignoring yourself, right? Ignoring your wants. I say to women sometimes, can you imagine if your partner continually ignored your wants and needs? Mm. Could you imagine if your friend continually, day after day, you said, I want this, and they went, no, or just, you know, did something else, continually did that to you day in and day out. Would you still be friends with them? Would you still be partnered with somebody who completely ignored what you wanted? Probably not. Mm. Yet we do this to ourselves day in and day out until we become aware of it and then we stop. However, isn't that the pattern that so many women are in? It's just completely ignoring what they want. And they don't feel valued and they don't feel honored. But the first step has to be actually valuing and honoring yourself. We can't expect anybody else to do it for us. We have to do it. That's where it starts.
So I know that you wanted to talk about the energetics of the no. So let's dive into that.
Yeah, so juicy. So this is, you know, the energies in the planet's changing so rapidly. And right now we are in such a time. Honestly, the messages that I keep coming in is right now we really have to align. We really have to align with what we want because we can all see it. There is a lot of stuff happening out there. Most people are in overwhelm. Most people are exhausted. What I see with women is this is the pattern that I'm seeing right now, very prevalently. And it's been building for many years, but it's reaching this tipping point where they've been doing so many things and a lot of things they don't want to be doing, right? Things that they dislike doing, they hate doing, or whatever it looks like. And they're exhausted. They're getting really tired from all this doing of things that are out of alignment on the one hand. And then the other hand, they're so exhausted from all of that. They've become really passive when it comes to what they want. Their goals, their dreams. I mean, it couldn't just be getting in shape or, you know, spending more time in nature, whatever that looks like, whatever their desires are, they're so exhausted from doing all the things they don't really want to be doing that they're lacking in the rest of their life. And what's happening is it's gotten to a point where it's been building and it puts them in a loop. It's a never-ending loop because you keep doing, right? And you keep staying passive and you never get out of that. So what's happening though, you think about it from an energetic perspective, every time you say yes to something you don't want, what, you know, the universe, life, whatever you want to call it, right? The message that you're sending out is, I want more of this.
Yes.
Whatever you say yes to, because the universe, well, is that life, whatever, is loving. It wants to give you what you say yes to. But what we're doing is continually saying yes to things that don't want. So the universe keeps bringing things that you don't want. And then we're staying in this cycle, continually over and over and over again. And so they don't have the energy to do something different or to try something different because they're so tired. But the answer isn't actually doing more. Because honestly, most women can't do more. They simply cannot do more. The answer is actually saying no. Because as soon as you say no, and you stand in your power, and you say no, again, the message, because I always think, what is the message you're sending out by your actions, right? It's always, we've got to think in that way. It's not, we've been so taught just to look in this physical world. Energetics is what, probably 80, 90% of what we do. So when you say yes, when you say no, it says you're closing a door. Mm-hmm. And the universe goes, oh, okay. She doesn't want that anymore. Cool. We're going to give her something else. And then you say maybe a yes over here because you've got a little bit of bandwidth. The universe goes, oh, cool. She wants more of that. We'll give her more of that. And what happens is we start to really narrow down, because right now what's happening is so many women are just saying yes to everything. And what they're doing is they're what I call like keeping their options open. What keeping your options open is actually doing is saying, I'll take anything. And think about that. I'll take anything. I have no standards.
Yes.
I'll just take whatever comes my way. However, that's not really what most women want. And then they enter this phase of discontentment. They're frustrated. They're exhausted and they're worn out. Why am I not getting what I want, right? Why am I not? How come my life is not changing? Why am I not, you know, having these rich, rewarding relationships or a rich and rewarding career or whatever that looks like? Because we can't keep saying yes when we mean no.
So delicious. And it's absolutely truth that, you know, the universe is responding to what action we're taking and the vibration that we're in. And there's something that happens when we say yes to something that we're not really keen on. There's two energies going on there, right? There's the verbalization of a yes and a taking a step into that direction. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, there's a part of you that's not in. You're not in. You're saying yes, okay. It's a partial yes. It's very confusing energy because there's the two energies going on there. There's a yes, and then there's actually a no that's going into the same space. So now you're kind of throwing like a yes, no into the space of the universe, and the universe is like, yes, no, okay, right? Like that's a direct correlation to your vibration. When you are able to say no and say it from that state of like, this doesn't serve me, right? And what doesn't serve us doesn't serve anybody. That's the certainty of it, right? Like what is for our higher good, what is in a state of loving of self is love for all, because there is no separation. So when we say no, because this is not loving to self, great. That serves everybody. Fantastic. I can let go of that. And that certainty, that conviction is a no. And that vibration is powerful, right? It is conviction. You're putting out conviction into the universe. And then when you do that and you're like, okay, now I'm available to what I really want. Like you said, not just like I'm available to anything. I want this. And this comes into your space and you say yes. And you are lit. You are alive because this is what you want, right? This is what's lighting you up. And you say yes to that. Wow. Now what vibration are you putting into the universe, right? Now what reflection, because it's always about the reflection. Your physical reality is a reflection of your vibration. What reflection are you going to receive back? Like that excites the fuck out of me.
And I'm going to be honest, it excites the fuck out of me too. Yeah! But here's another one. I want to just add to that, because there's another scenario here. You talked about mixed energy. This is something else we women can do. Again, no judgment.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Is we will say no, but we won't own the reason why we say no. And so when you talked about a mixed energy, there's another mixed energy. It is not that crisp, clear. I am, you know, closing that door. And again, what you said is so perfect and beautiful. What is the best and highest for you is the best and highest for humanity. But we do this little, I call it a dance, this little dance. Well, no, I can't do that because we have this little excuse that we've got. Because we think it's the one that people will buy. I can't do that. I'm busy. When your heart and soul is going, I don't want to do that.
Yes.
And you're like, I'm kind of busy. That's not empowering. That is not a clear no. And that middle ground no is also a point we have to get really crystal crisp and clear on, because here's the other part of that. That is a vibration of inauthenticity. You are out of integrity. It's out of integrity. And I know for so many women, integrity is so important. However, how often do we do that dance where we actually aren't in integrity? We think we're going to do integrity in our work. I talked to a lot of women who are so passionate about being in, you know, having integrity in the work that they do and how they show up on their jobs. Well, how about with your own personal being and yourself? Where are you in all of this? Own it and say, this is not a priority for me in my life right now. This is just not what I want for me right now. And be okay. And if somebody else doesn't like that, that's on them. That is so on them. It's not about you at all. But that crispness, we've got to get that crispness. I love that.
It's so important, because that white lie thing, right? Like, how many people white lie? Well, I can't because something came up, and meanwhile, nothing came up, right? That's integrity. Like, to be able to just say, hey, sweetie, this isn't feeling good for me right now. I don't want to, you know, whatever, this doesn't feel good. I don't want to do this, whatever, in that full honest truth, like you're saying, instead of creating some white lie to quote unquote soften the blow, right? When again, you're creating non-integral, like you're non-integral. Like, I don't care. I'm a big firm believer on this. A lie is a lie.
Yep.
And when we lie, we create distrust and untruth in our reality, right? Like, we don't want that. Like, who wants to experience distrust and betrayal and distruth, right? We want truth. We want transparency. Like, this is talked about a lot in our, like, you know, we want transparency from the government. Well, how many people are actually fucking transparent? Like, nobody's transparent.
No.
Everybody lies through their teeth. And then they're like, well, now the government needs to be truthful. Like, no, that's not how it works. We have to show up first in integrity. Stop lying. Stop trying to soften things. Stop trying to people please things. Just like you said, make it clear. No. And we can absolutely, like you said before, we can do it passionately. Not to be a jerk about it, right?
It's not about the other person being wrong or bad or wanting something. It's really not. And you know what, as you were talking, Alara, there, I was thinking, women really are, we're really taught to do white lies. I think we're probably way worse at this than men are. I would beg, because I think growing up, I mean, you even talk about the jokes they make about when a woman says, you know, is my ass big? I'm just going to use the word, you know, you're supposed to white lie.
Yes.
Why? Well, maybe you shouldn't ask in the first place, but that's another conversation.
Yeah. If you don't want to know the answer, don't ask, right?
But we almost expect someone to say a white lie. And how, I mean, the fact that we call them white lies, they're just lies.
They're just lies. I love that. They're just lies. Oh, I love that so much. Yes. And it's like, you know, just like they say, well, women will tell you one thing, but they actually mean something else. I always say that, yeah, men don't know what we want because we're horrible communicators.
Yeah.
Like, women, that's our responsibility. If your man does not know what you want, that's because you are not defining it very clearly, neatly, not beating around the bush, not trying to make it soft for him. You're saying no, and you're saying yes, and you're making it very clear for him.
You just nailed it. Think about it. If you think about it, we've been taught that men are supposed to guess what we want. We're doing the same thing with the universe. We're going, universe, I'm going to give you all these mixed signals. I'm not going to tell you what I want, but I want you to please bring me what I actually want. I don't think I've ever heard it so perfectly articulated. Honestly, that's exactly what we're doing. And then we're pissed off and we're exhausted. We're like, why am I not getting what I want? Well, this is why you're not getting what you want, girlfriend, sister.
So good. So good. So, my love, what do you recommend for women who are aware that they're doing this? What are some first steps that they can take to shifting this in themselves?
Well, I think the first one is start small. We don't go for the big things. Like if you're out of alignment in some places, don't go gangbusters because, you know, you want to start small. And also understand that this might not feel comfortable. Like I think I'm going to say that right at the beginning is if you've been, you know, out of alignment and out of integrity in a lot of what you're doing, when you start to do that, you might feel a lot of resistance. So just to say that off the board, this isn't something that people walk into off the mark and go, yay, look at me. You know, I'm now speaking my truth. Start to listen to your body. It's one of the biggest things you can do is start to listen to your body when you are noticing that your body, like listen to how your body feels when somebody asks you something. Like, and you can even ask your own body, like, how do I feel about this? Ask yourself, how do I really feel about this? And not think about it. I didn't say think. Because that's where we go. As human beings, we automatically go, and we can justify anything logically in our mind.
Absolutely.
Ask your body and tune into your body. How do I feel about it? So you can start with little things. A friend asks you out. Say she wants to go out to dinner and your calendar is full. And, you know, you might love that friend and you might love going to dinner with her, but how do you feel in that moment when she asks you? If you're like, oh my gosh, I don't have time, and you feel your chest sink in, that's probably a no. Or it's, I need to look at the rest of my schedule. Maybe I need to rejig the rest of my life and say no to some other things because this friendship's important. I'm saying yes over here. But until you actually start listening to yourself and asking yourself, like, how do I feel about this? That's the first step because we're so out of touch with how we feel about so many things in our lives. And so once we've done that, then it becomes, you know, finding the clarity. What's your priority? Because that's what it comes down to, is prioritizing our lives. We are no longer in the time. Go ahead. Sorry.
I love how you say that because it's like, well, maybe you do want to go out to dinner with your friend. You're getting a yes, like it feels good. And yet there's like, but literally like, how is this going to work, right? So I love how you say there could be another no. Maybe you need to evaluate what else you have set for that day or around that time to be like, where is the no that just needs to be like eliminated for this yes, right? I loved that so much.
Yeah, because we can, you know, I think one of the greatest gifts I got was being a single parent. It sounds so weird, but becoming a single parent forced me to prioritize. Like this was one of the biggest blessings I had in that experience is I had to pick my yeses and my nos really carefully. And just know that if you're saying yes over here, you might have to say no over here because there's no way in this world any of us can do everything we want to be doing. So just the biggest part of it is asking yourself, like, how do I feel about this? And sometimes it requires that bit of a digging deeper. You know, maybe it's like you, like I said, like, okay, so I don't feel great about it. Why don't I feel great about it? And the part is to keep asking yourself questions because questions are going to expand you. And we know that we ask questions. I mean, life loves it when we ask those questions because then we go into an expansive state rather than just going, well, I don't want to go or I can't go. That shuts everything down. It shuts your whole process down and it's going to keep you in that loop over and over and over again.
Or even like for some reason, this is coming through because I know I felt this a lot of myself, like, I want to go. Why can't I go? Right. There's almost sometimes, I don't know if you've ever connected to this, like a tantrumy energy, right? Around when there's something we want, but for some reason we believe we can't have it. Right. So again, that would be similar to like, you want to go out with your friend. And they can build up frustration around it, right? Because you really want to do that. But, oh, how is this going to work? This is so annoying. This is so frustrating, right? And that's where you can ask those questions to really determine what's beneath that little tantrum, I like to call it.
Totally. And you might be saying yes to things, and you may have said yes to things for 40 years on autopilot because you think you're supposed to. And you might think they are a non-negotiable when in fact they are a negotiable.
Wow. Because that's really powerful.
People think make things non-negotiables when they're negotiables. Think about, here's the classic perfect example, Christmas dinner.
Oh, yes.
I have to go to my family's even though I don't want to. Do yes. you?
No, because we do it every year.
Well, of course.
What does.
Yeah. Yeah. What else? Yeah. What's grandma going to think? That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the classic, what we would consider a non-negotiable, but it actually is very negotiable. If you're not happy doing that, why are you doing it?
And if it doesn't feel good, because sometimes, you know, I've been in a lot of circumstances where I don't always understand why it's a no, but it's a no. Right. And I've given myself permission to stop needing to know that it's a no. But, you know, okay, I'm going to stop with the no's. Because sometimes we don't have all of the information as to why it is not in alignment right now. I'll give you an example, which is a big one. My mother, I was dealing with some healing in my cervix, and really deep ancestral healing, all this shame and parallel realities where her and I were sex slaves together. She wasn't my mom in that life. We were just women together. We weren't even related. We were in the harem. It just, you know, really incredible. Oh. All these energies are working in multiple dimensions and layers of energy in my cervix. And my dad calls me and he says, oh, we have some news to give you. And I was like, okay. And he's like, your mom has been diagnosed with cervical cancer. I didn't even know my mother was sick, because it's a very advanced, rapid cancer, aggressive cancer. And I was like, oh, I'm not surprised. This is me talking to my parents. I've been doing healing there. Like, I know exactly what she's going through. And, you know, immediately it was like, you should go visit her. And it was like, no, it's not time yet. No. And I could feel my dad was just getting really scared. And I mean, like really scared right away. Right. And I was talking to my dad. I'm like, Dad, I totally understand why you're scared. And, you know, and he was trying not to put pressure on me. So he's putting pressure on my brother because he knows that I won't take it. But he's like, I'll put pressure on you. Like, you need to get out here right now to see your mom. And so I said to my dad, I totally know how you feel and that it appears that I should be chasing out there to go see her. But there's something deeper going on here that I need to address first. And if you just trust me. And, you know, I had to go through some deeper energies first. And then I got a yes. And we flew out there. And it was all so magical what transpired with my visit there and the healing that takes place. And she's in regression. You know, she doesn't have cancer. Like beautiful, beautiful, magical stuff. But yeah, when that happens, your first instinct is, I have to go there. But when your body is saying no, it can be very conflicting, right? Like, what do you mean no? Why wouldn't I? That's ridiculous, you know? So like really understanding, we have to learn to trust that wisdom, even if we don't have all the answers.
That is such a beautiful example, Alara, because you're right. These are not just even small things. These can be really massively huge things that we don't understand why. It's a no, and it's such a perfect example. I won't go into one, but I've got one where my sister passed on and I didn't ever visit her. I wasn't speaking to her for years before, and I didn't go visit her when she was sick and the judgment that came my way. But I was just very firm in my decision. It didn't feel right to go. And they don't always make sense. And we can't wait for our logical minds to catch up sometimes. Mm. And it's this, you know, we've got to listen more to our higher selves and our intuition so much more than we have. And that's, you know, really our body is telling us always what the decisions were. But that is a profound example. And wow, that's quite the journey you went through with your mother and that healing. Wow.
It really was.
Yeah.
But I want to celebrate you as well, because that's a similar circumstance where somebody very close to you is passing away and it's a big solid no. And just like you said, the judgment, right? Like immediately there's like pressure from everybody. And I love how you said earlier about like when we start to create these new patterns in our being, it's usually not comfortable, right? Because you've been doing this for, you know, however old you are, you've usually basically been doing it your entire life, right? Or a large portion of it. And so it's not comfortable. Then you add on pressure from family or from friends or from coworkers or boss or whoever. And we really can second guess ourselves, right? Do you have any recommendations? What was that experience like for you when you had that pressure? How did you stay in that conviction?
Well, by this, like for me, by this time, I was like, I'm where I am in my life now. Let's just say I just do what I want. I'm well beyond that journey of worrying what other, you know, I see it. However, I know what that is, and this is not my first rodeo, let's just say. At the beginning of it, I mean, for me, mine very much was a spiritual journey. So it was continually, I mean, meditation, connecting me back to me. It's not going out there. And what we've been conditioned to do so often is get everyone's opinion.
Oh my God.
And
yes,
that can send you in a tizzy on the best of days. It's really something we really need to start looking inward and connecting with ourselves. So especially, I mean, when I went through my big changes, like when I talk about, you know, in May 2008, when this all started, I did very much an internal journey for many years and just kept connecting with myself. Because every time I went out in the world, I got different messages and different, I mean, same thing. I left corporate. I left a six-figure salary in corporate, and so many people going, you're crazy, you're this, you're that, you're all these things. And by that moment, I was quite rooted, right? But everyone has their opinion. You just got to connect back to you. And that's the energy, and that's the time we are in right now, is we've got to stop looking to the outside world for validation. It's up to us to give our own selves the validation. That's where the gold is. That's how you will create beautiful, blissful experiences in your life. You can't be looking outward. It's just not where the answers are.
I love that advice so much. So again, for the audience, if you're feeling like a decision has pressure, you're unsure, everybody's giving you the opposing opinion, right, as to what you're feeling in your body, step back, reconnect, right? Reconnect to that truth of self. It's so important to do that. Give yourself the time and the space to do that. Go out into nature, remove yourself, right? Give yourself the time and space to really reconnect, because it can be really confusing. You hear all these different ideas and thoughts and opinions, and pretty soon you can start second guessing. Well, maybe I don't really feel that, right? So sometimes I love how you say that. Just reconnect, whatever that looks like to you. Reconnect yourself, reestablish that, ask again, and then just hold that conviction in it.
Yeah, and like I said, it might be a little bit tricky at first, and that's okay. It's actually okay. It doesn't mean you're on the wrong path. The beautiful part of this is acknowledging like those discomforts are temporary. The benefit, you know, and I'm sure you could speak to this too. Like, yeah, it's not fun necessarily at the time, but that's temporary. The benefit long-term of standing in your truth and owning who you are at your core and your yeses and your nos and all of who you are, those live long on. You know, that's a long-term benefit that only gets better with time. Right? But you don't know that at the time.
Yeah, so well put, my love. So how can people find you, reach out to you?
My website is andreahorvath.com. And my main platform is LinkedIn, so I'm on there as well. And those would be the two main places to connect with me.
And you have a, I forgot what it's called, but you have like a live that you do with Sonia, right?
Yes, I do a live. It's now every 2 weeks on LinkedIn called The Career Doctors. And this is all about so much of what we talk about here. It's not working any harder. So many women are working so hard and they're not getting what they want. They're not feeling fulfilled. They're settling. They're not getting the raises, the jobs, whatever it looks like. And so it's really about having a different level of conversation. And this is a lot about the energetics, self-love, self-worth, stepping into your power, and all these beautiful things that are the answers, really. It's not about working harder. It's not about adding more value. We're beyond that now. We so are. It's really so about owning it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Career Doctors. Thank you. I had that in my mind when we started and I forgot. So if people want to watch that show and be a part of that, they just connect to you on LinkedIn and then they'll find that.
Okay. Yeah. And they can always DM me there too, if they want. You know, I've got, we've got the recordings on YouTube if they want to go listen to the old recordings, but I mean, always just message me as well. Yeah.
Wonderful. Yay, my love. Thank you so much. As we both knew, this would be such a delicious conversation and such a joy to share space with you.
Oh, thank you so, so much. I so enjoyed it. Thank you.
And to the audience, absolutely. You know, this is so imperative for women and for humanity right now. So if this is something you struggle with, reach out to her, connect with her so that you can have these clear, solid no's and have these clear, solid yes and be clear, right? And get what you desire. I love you all so very much. Thank you for being a listener. Thank you for being here with us today, granting us your time and your presence. It means so very much to us. Until next time, much love.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Woman podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.